자, 엔게.
In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Kawabunga.
Welcome everybody to issue 42 of Heroes Asylum, coming from you right off the corner of Yancey Street and Crime Alley. Here I am, Captain Mike, with Kane. How you doing today, brother?
Hello, hello. Issue 42, man. I can't believe we made it past 10.
I know. Go figure.
No, the goal was 7.
Yeah.
But now we're at 42.
Now the goal's 50.
And that's not even... Now the goal's 50. And after 50 is going to be 100, which will be actually... 100 is going to be very special because we're going to do a... We're probably going to do like a party or something.
Might have to do, have to break out, a party. Yeah. Put on our dancing shoes.
Like put dancing shoes, get fancy and stuff. But, yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, here we are, issue 42. We're going to break down the news like we normally do for you guys. A lot of things happened. When I was looking at the week, I was like, man, not a lot happened. But then sat down and really did some research. I'm like, holy crap. There was some things. I guess to start off, we want to throw out a big happy birthday to the one and only Frank Castle, the Punisher. On October 30th was his birthday. He has turned 46, folks. He came out on October 30th, 1973, was the debut with the man with the white go-go boots.
Happy birthday, Frank.
Yeah, so wanna definitely, I mean, it's he's a huge member of the Marvel world, and I know for me, I even like the bad movies. I even like kind of like the Dolph Lundgren movie.
I don't know about that. That's a source of
it was still fun. It was something we got. I mean, you got to realize at the moment we didn't have anything. Now looking back, comparing it to other things, you know, you compare it to the war journal. Yeah, no, it's complete crap. But compared to what we got and what we had at the time, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, that's that issue with the whole, you know, 5 o'clock shadow, no skull. He had a skull on his knife, though. That was it. And the guilty must be punished. That was, ugh. Ugh. I think Stan Lee's in that movie, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe, yeah, because it wasn't the Marvels that started the whole him being in every movie. Did that from the get-go. That was his staple. But yeah, well, so the only man that can rock white go-go boots and kick your ass.
Yeah. Well, they updated his look slightly over the years.
Yeah, but still, you go back to the original.
Still, he has those white go-go boots, and he has the white bandana. I mean, he's the only guy who can get away with it, too.
Oh, yeah. No, nobody else could.
Kick your ass.
All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to jump in like we do every week. We're going to hit that admissions ward button and see what's come down the pike.
News from the admissions ward.
All right, sir. So I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to you. What do you got going on today?
Well, guess what? Lucifer Season 5, which will be the final season of Lucifer on Netflix, is going to be split into two halves. First half, I believe, is going to come out... I'm just guessing right now. I'm thinking maybe April. And I think the second half will drop next fall. It's 16 total episodes, so it's probably going to be an 8-8. If you haven't seen Sabrina the Teenage Witch, they usually do like a part 1 and a part 2. So I'm thinking... they're going to do that, extend it out a little bit. It is the last season of Lucifer, so I think it kind of makes sense. You know, it's balls to the walls. I saw an interview with Tom Ellis like recently on Entertainment Tonight. He's talking about they were doing a kind of like a crime noir episode where everybody had like these crime noir type of costumes that had a black and white feel to it. So they're going to do a lot of different things this season. Like I said, it's the last season, which is sad. If you haven't seen the ending of the season finale of season 4, spoilers, Lucifer goes back to hell. He has to go back to hell basically to keep those nasty demons in line so they don't try to escape. So it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back. So, Mike, thoughts on this?
I don't know why it's news. I mean, the broken seasons, that's typical. There's always the mid-season break. So, that's pretty much all they're doing from what I had read was they were going to do 8 seasons, take a quick break, and then come back. So I was like, okay, that's what TV shows do. But I do like the idea if they do break them up into actual seasons and like the first 8 are their own independent story and then the last 8 are its own independent story, then I'd be kind of cool with it.
That'd be interesting. But they never do. They still follow that, you know, crime procedural type of thing.
I just meant the overall story arc. You know.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know what the overall story arc this year is going to be. Obviously, I mean, him coming back from hell, I suppose. Maybe meeting up with God. I think that's eventually going to happen. So it'll be interesting. But it's sad to see that show go. But you know, we don't have too much longer to wait. Somewhere in 2010, we'll be seeing Lucifer.
Now, hopefully, hopefully we'll see a connection with Sandman. Hopefully that's what the last half of that season will be, the last eight seasons. Hopefully maybe.
Oh, can you imagine that? Like the last episode, you see Dream show up and he's like, the story's not over yet, Lucifer. Oh, yeah. I would freak out.
Let's hope. I mean, if they're smart about it, let's cross our fingers. A lot of people do some pretty badass fan service, and especially if Netflix is picking up. You know, Sandman. It kind of just makes sense for what they have.
Sandman's kind of like the holy grail of that universe. Yeah. So it's just like, you know, I mean, it's been tried to be done a movie, and I always said it cannot be a movie. It can't, because it was almost like Preacher being a movie. You know, Preacher recently finished through five seasons and did like 10 episodes each. You couldn't do that as a movie. So yeah. I think, hopefully, you know, you know, Sandman will get that type of treatment as well. You know, long, extended, has to have those episodes, narration, you know, who is Dreamer, that world. Because it's very kind of complex, and you can get lost really fast. So,
very good. Yeah, I can't wait to see where they go, what they do. I've got rumors, actually, for a very similar dark character. Moon Knight rumors have been kicking around. Apparently, it says that it's set to be taking place, and it alternates between 2003 and 2023, where this is, you know, the rumors that they're saying that's going to be set up. It's going to have kind of like this trippy sliding time scale, kind of comparing it to like Westworld, if you've never seen Westworld or Mr. Robot. The show will simultaneously explore mental health issues, wealth disparity, and also the superhero action. You know, you have to have with Nightwing. Right now, for Mark Spector, they're throwing some names around that they're interested in. Okay. Rumors claiming Garrett Hedlund.
Garrett Hedlund was in Tron Legacy, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Justin Theroux, I believe is.
I don't like it.
Michael Ealy.
Not familiar with Ealy.
Now, this one I'd be interested in. Shia LaBeouf.
You know, speaking of Shia LaBeouf, I'm glad you mentioned him. I saw a movie last night called Peanut Butter Falcon. And I've been a big hater on Shia LaBeouf for a long, long time. But his last couple movies, a dude has shown that he can really act. And when you mention his name to be Mark Spector, that's something I don't hate. Yeah. Actually, I could see him doing that. He has really, like, really grown. He did another movie. It was a type of war type of movie where he's in a tank. I think it's called Tank. I know Brad Pitt's in it. And he played like this survive super religious Christian type of guy.
Oh, yeah. I know. It wasn't Tank, it was something else.
I forgot what it was, but he was so good at it. I was like, wow, that's him?
I think we just got overkill from Transformers, honestly, with him. Because if you look at some of his other stuff during the Transformers time and pre-Transformers, I think it was just that we just got overkill because of that. Mm-hmm. Because if you ever watch Hole or Disturbia, yeah, you know, he was really good in that. You're thinking of Fury,
that's a good one. He did another one where he was on house arrest. Is that the one you're talking about too, Disturbia?
Yeah, or is that a Disturbia? No, I think that's Disturbia.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, okay. I think we just got bombarded and just over like killed with Transformers. Head when we think Shiloh, we're like, I don't want to see him run in slow motion anymore.
the truth about it is, if you really think about those horrible Transformers movies, he wasn't the reason they were bad. No. He was actually kind of entertaining. Like, it wasn't his fault. I mean, he got shitted on for it, and it really wasn't his fault. But you know, recently his body of work has been building and building, and he had that whole like do it thing, and that's kind of when I got on board with him. And I was like, this guy's freaking insane. But you know, recently his body of work has just been going up and up and up. And like I said, Peanut Butter Falcon, I saw last night. It's kind of like it's almost like a touchy-feely type of movie, but it's really, really good. Has Jake Roberts in it, by the way, so you should definitely check it out. It has like a wrestling vibe.
I'll have to check that one out. It's funny that you mentioned Tank, because the only one that popped into my head was the one with James Gardner and St. Thomas Howell. When you're like, I was like, nah, man, it's not Tank.
Great movie. Hey, that's
it's a great movie, though.
If there's a movie that needs to be remade, it's that one. Oh, God, I forgot when he, I think he just drove that tank around the neighborhood because he had issues with people. Or he robbed it.
Yeah.
I think he robbed it from the government and he had issues.
Oh, no, it was his tank. He was a colonel or something in the army. It was his tank, and his son was unlawfully held prisoner or captive by a local sheriff. He was arrested, and so he broke his son out, and then it became a statewide pursuit of him.
Yeah, how are you going to stop a guy in a tank? That's a little difficult. I mean, it's slow, but, you know.
Yeah, but.
Freaking.
Yeah, that was one of the good ones. Yeah, well, when you said that, I just kind of laughed and threw it off. But going back to Nightwing, they're talking that it's mostly going to be an original story, so they're not really going to try to pull much from the book, which I guess is good because there are so many stories. But they're looking at Bushmaster as the main villain.
Didn't we just have Bushmaster?
Yeah.
Luke Cage season... Two, three?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. And it was, I think it just, they're just going to pull maybe a different version of the Bushmaster.
Okay. I kind of like that version of Bushmaster on Luke Cage. He's okay. I mean, he wasn't the Bushmaster that I was used to reading, but that's an interesting one. I mean, who is the, Moon Knight has a villain that's kind of like the opposite of him. Isn't he called like the Black Spectre or something?
Oh, God.
He's like reverse Moon Knight.
Been years since I've picked up a Moon Knight book, honestly.
Yeah, that would be a one that I would use for the first season, not really Bushmaster, because I think if you recall Flash season one, and I think that's your favorite season of Flash, the reason why you loved it so much is they just, you know, balls to the walls. You're like, you know what? We're going to do reverse Flash in the first season. And you got hooked because, like, oh, okay, you know, he one of his main big baddies. And I think with a guy like Moon Knight and that property, you should just go balls to the walls, put his best enemy out there, and I think you could use the Black Spectre, and that's the guy you should use because you want to have a guy that, you know, not only can challenge you mentally but physically. That's always been my big thing with, like, especially Batman movies, is they always include these villains that challenge him, like, intelligently. That's why, like, the Ben Affleck version I thought would have been interesting with him fighting Deathstroke, because Deathstroke is a guy who can challenge you both mentally and physically. So I think with a series like that, it requires a villain of that utmost importance.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, especially with the type of character they, you know, that he is. Mm-hmm. So what do you got for your next one?
Oh, sorry. And one more thing before ending up on Moon Knight. Hopefully they never do the Ten Rings storyline. Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, let's hope not. Yeah, it looks like maybe they were saying original story, but it looks like a lot of it's going to be pulled from Warren Ellis's run with that. So, and I don't believe he had the Ten Ring.
Oh, if you ever, please don't read that. That's what got me out of Moon Knight. That was the worst storyline. But anyway, CW, Mike, guess what? They're going to release another DC property series, and I think this is something that you might like. It's going to be the Superman, the Tyler Hoechlin Superman that we've seen recently on the crossovers, and he's been on Supergirl. And I think I've said it, you have said it as well. He's probably like the best live-action version on the small screen we've seen in a while. I mean, Henry Cavill is what he was on the movie screen, but I think Tyler kind of captures that Christopher Reeve type of Superman that, you know, I guess the crowd has always wanted. Like, you know, the guy who's flying over and saving cats, you know, he's the goofy Clark Kent, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, it's going to go straight to series. And if Berlanti's behind it, I think it's going to be successful because, you know, he gets to play in that toy box now with DC and they're giving him more and more to use, which is, you know, and he's kicked ass so far with it. So he's coming to CW probably sometime. No pilot yet, but it's being written as a series, so we'll see when.
Yeah, they were talking, I think what I read is something about, like, possibly next season of him coming out, which I think it'll be great. I have to, you know, eat my words, because I was like, yeah, they'll never do another Superman one. But when, you know, they brought Tyler in, I was like, hey, this guy does a pretty good job. He reminded me a little bit of, I know you were bringing up Reeves, but he reminded me heavily of Dean Cain.
Oh, really?
In his portrayal, because especially when they brought in his Lois, there's definitely, you know, a lot of familiarity there. And it looks as though, from what I had read, that it was going to be like a Superman and Lois TV show.
And I read also that the kid is going to be there, Jonathan Kent. So
because I know they went off to Kandor City at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, are they going to bring the kid in, or is that'll be a different twist to it that it's not just, you know, Lois.
Yeah, it's Superman. A different thing. You always got to keep upping the ante, especially with these series. I mean, we know the Superman and Lois story, but now you got to add Jonathan Kent. I mean, he's been around the comics not too long, right? I think what, 2014, 13?
Yeah, I would say it's got to be at least a 5 years.
Yeah, it's been recent. So, you know, you can include him in storylines as long as they don't include Damian Wayne in there. I'll be happy.
Yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I guess I'm kind of sticking with the DC world. We got announced about a month ago about HBO Max, which is now HBO's, I guess, answer to kind of like the Disney Plus and Netflix and all that. It's their answer to it. But they have worked up a contract with Warner Brothers, where Warner Brothers is to produce 8 to 10 films with budgets on par with feature films that will be likely included. Will include DC properties and projects overseen by J.J. Abrams, because J.J. Abrams is now working with WB, primarily in their DC group. Right now, two got dropped that they say they're working on. One, Green Lantern, and the other one is an Adam Strange TV series. So I'd be very interested to see this. And what they're also working on is DC's shows. The DC streaming shows are still going to continue there, but they're going to be also airing on HBO. So Doom Patrol just signed up for their second season, and they will also be airing on HBO.
I think what's happening here, and I think the writing is on the wall for the DC app. I think, yeah, you can see it coming. The subscribing list wasn't that high its first year. So I think slowly but tangentially, you'll see all these series that are on the DC app move towards HBO Max. Until eventually DC is going to be basically like a separate app for comics and everything, and maybe like, you know, just costumes or merch, but it's not going to be like a channel itself anymore.
I don't see that happening. I think it's still going to continue. Just HBO just wants to take advantage of some of their properties. I don't see it dropping anytime soon. Not with the shows that they have on there.
Well, they got big budgets now, especially with HBO behind them and Warner Brothers. I mean, that's going to be, especially this Green Lantern series is not going to be cheap. If they do it right.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully
HBO's
they don't do
not
that.
Financing. According to this, there's no financing from HBO. They're just, Warner Brothers is doing the financing. And you've got Warner Brothers money behind DC.
Oh, I see. I thought it was HBO back in the, okay.
No. It just says, that they have the HBO Max.
My apologies. Then, I'm sorry.
It's just like the Disney properties with the Marvel Studios. They have the Disney money behind them. DC has the Warner Brothers money behind them. So it's just, I don't see that happening, especially with, I mean, the things that they've been going on with this. I just think a lot of people are out there that just aren't subscribing to the DC streaming, and they're like, I don't know what's out there, but I think if they get it on HBO, they'll be like, oh, wait a second, that's what's out there? Let me go check it now. Because I think a lot of people are just scared of that, because there's nothing like this out there. I mean, even Disney Plus won't be like this. You know, won't be like DC Universe, a streaming service.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to do all these series, especially like I said before, the Green Lantern series is a series that is very near and dear to my heart. And you talk about stories that they haven't even touched in Green Lantern lore. Can you imagine now? You got the budget of Warner Brothers. You're probably going to have, let's take a guess, you're going to have maybe 11, 12 episodes per season. You know, that's about right, considering the budget's going to be pretty high. You can just really, really dive deep into the Green Lantern lore. You can dive into like the history of Oa, of the who are the guys, the floaty head guys that are on Oa, like the legends of the council.
The Guardians?
I forgot their name. The Guardians, yes. Yeah. So you can go deep in the story with them. Darkest Night is a possibility. You can have the future of all the colored rings, like where they came from. It's just a lot of stories that they can get into. Maybe they can get deep and sweaty and talk about the Source Wall. That's one you go into. I'm like, it excites me if they do it well, and knowing that they have good people behind it, I can't wait now.
And the fact that they've got the Adam Strange series too makes it even
that's
more interesting.
That's another
that
one.
Could,
that maybe
that's where we'll see Lobo again.
I hope so.
I mean,
get the guy from Sci-Fi Channel. He did a great job, man.
Well, the guy that wrote that, he said he's still out there shopping. So maybe this is part of it. It's. Yeah, they'll actually do a Lobo movie, because they were saying they want 8 to 10 movies. This is just the TV series they're doing, but they still want movies, and they want Warner Brother movies. And they're not saying all 8 to 10 will be from DC, but There's a good possibility that, you know, that they're going to push them that route.
I think, and I think we've talked about this before on, you know, many of our nights at the Winchester, especially recently, that we have talked about the future of, like, where is this comic book, you know, genre going to? And I think the future is going to be in streaming, because you can do a lot more with a 10-episode, 11-episode series than you can do in a 2.5-hour movie. You can space things out. You're all about story and narration and building up characters. Well, you're going to get it now. You're going to get it with this Green Lantern series. You're going to get it with Adam Strange. And I think they mentioned another series too, which is, I forgot, but it's all about story and building up characters. That's why Supernatural's lasted for like 15 seasons, because you build up these characters. Even the ones who are there for like maybe like 6 or 7 episodes. Oh, hey, it's Bobby Singer. Oh, hey, it's a Sheriff Jody Mills. Like, oh, you have a connection to these characters. And I think now that you're going to have this, you're going to have it with the comic book side now. And that excites me a lot.
Yes. Let's see. What next one do you have?
Okay, what do I have next for everybody? I have, well, guess what, Mike? I know you wanted it. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Part 3, has been greenlit. That's why Ant-Man and the Wasp is happening. Probably going to happen. No air date as of yet, like when it's going to be released, but I think it's going to be part of the Phase 5. So it's coming. Okay. I mean, the Ant-Man movies have been okay for me. I thought the first one was really good. Second one was, you know, okay. You know, it's okay. They're good fun movies. They're nothing deep about them. I mean, nothing insane. He doesn't have like the best villains in the world, but you know, they're gonna have a part 3. It made money, so it's nice to see Evangeline Lilly gonna be back suiting up. My favorite, and you just go from there.
Yeah, I'm happy. What do you think? I loved it. I thought the second one was just as good as the first one. Because you had more of a building on the characters both sides. And yeah, it's one of those ones you can't go all serious. You can't have your end games every movie. You have to have, you know, what I talked about. You kind of have to cleanse your palate in between movies. Mm-hmm. And that's what this, Ant-Man is great for that. It keeps you in the world, but gives you the lighthearted side. I mean, now you have to see him dealing with surviving the snap.
Yeah, the after effects.
You know, now he's got what looked like an adult daughter, almost or late teen daughter now. So you're going to have
a college girl.
Yeah. So you're going to have that part of it. And, you know, if they bring back the whole cast, you know, if they bring back Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer to play, you know, Hank and.
Oh, they have to bring them back.
Yeah.
They
I think that's perfect for them to bring that whole cast back. And again, it's just cleansing the palate, just like Guardians was. Guardians wasn't serious. They had a few scenes that were pivotal to the overall story arc, but for the most part, it was tongue in cheek, and so that's I'm all on board for it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they're not my favorite of the MCU movies. Like I said, they're fun. They're palate cleansing. You're exactly right when you say that. They wipe the slate clean. You don't have to like just overthink it. It's just good fashion fun. I don't know where they're going to go story-wise. I mean, like you said, they could go with the daughter. Like, hey, I've been gone for 5 years. You know, what has she been up to? You know, how am I going to relate to a teenage, basically an adult daughter? When I left, she was basically a little kid still. I mean, that could be one of the big storylines. I mean, I want Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas to come back. I thought their portrayals as Hank and
Janet Pym.
There's just been so many wasps out there, so I had to rethink for a second. But yeah, Hank and his wife, I forgot it again, Janet Pym. So and them being there, kind of being like, you know, the kind of like the forefathers, and they're both scientists in themselves. So I mean, are they going to relate to like the building of maybe like another Avengers group? I mean, I don't know. Maybe the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's
a
lot of things. Yeah, there's a lot of things you could do. Like I said, Kevin Feige and those guys, they're really smart about it. They're nerds. They always thumb through stuff, and they'll bring out stuff that you like, wow, I thought about that, but I didn't think they were actually going to put it in there. So,
And I need a scene.
It'll be interesting to see.
I need a scene with Michael Pena explaining to everybody what he did during those 5 years. You know, I need that scene, too.
Oh, please. You know, there.
Because he didn't get taken during the snap. So he's got to tell them all what happened, why everybody was gone.
Oh, my God. Apparently, there is a scene out there of him, of Michael Pena, doing the entire rundown of the MCU from beginning till endgame. I have to find this.
I heard a rumor that somebody wished that happened, but I heard
it's actually been done.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Like, he actually did. Yeah. So I don't know if Feige has it. Maybe it's on some kind of blue box DVD that Feige's going to release with the entire MCU. I don't know, but I want that. And I want, yeah, hopefully Michael Peña comes back in this movie too. I mean, he's a busy guy as well. So
yeah, let's see here. So my next one is a combo.
What you got, man?
Did you see the second trailer for The Mandalorian that dropped last week?
Yes, I did.
And I got to tell you, man, I was even more stoked. You actually got to hear him talk, expanded more on the scenes we saw really quick. So I'm looking forward to that. But then at the same time, the news dropped that Benioff and Weiss have now exited the Star Wars universe. The Game of Thrones creators have left. They are the reasons behind it was, and this is what they posted, is we love Star Wars. When George Lucas built it, and he built us too. Getting to talk about Star Wars with him and the current Star Wars team was a thrill of a lifetime, and we will always be in debt to the saga that changed everything. There are only so many hours in the day, and we felt that we could not do justice to both the Star Wars and our Netflix project, so we regretfully are stepping away. So the bashing of, oh, it was because of their final scene or final episode of Game of Thrones, it's just that they don't have enough time to do it.
I don't know about that. I mean, I've heard rumors that they left because of the Netflix deal they signed, and apparently Kathleen Kennedy didn't like that, and they argued over story, which this really concerns me. I don't think we've actually discussed this at full length about Kathleen Kennedy's tenure at Lucasfilm. You know, she's been, like, as a producer wise, she makes money. She makes a lot of money for that studio. Let's get the positives out of the way first. She makes a ton of money for Disney. Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, whatever you have to say about those movies, they made money. I mean, Solo, not so much. That's her first bomb, but they've made money for the studios. Even Rogue One went over $1 billion as well. But I think the issue has been with her tenure there, she will hire these directors. She did it with Gareth Edwards, who did Godzilla, and then sort of like wanted to fire him, but he wanted to work. They had the Miller brothers. They were going to do Solo. She let them go. Benioff and Weiss now. A couple of years ago, the Chronicle director, he was going to do Boba Fett movie, let him go. I think, you know, she's got to stop hiring directors like, you know, at a whim, like, hey, this is the hot, you know, potato of the moment. I'm going to hire this guy and not work with him. Kathleen Kennedy sat there when she was introduced as the, you know, producer of Lucasfilm and said, hey, everything is going to be tied together from here on out. Video games, TV series, comics, it's all going to be connected. And then when she does the movies, barely mentions any of them. I want Kathleen Kennedy to continue as a producer because she does her job fantastically. You know, she's going to go down in the Hall of Fame as a great producer. But hopefully after this last movie, after the last, you know, the Rise of Skywalker, she just steps away and you know, you bring another creative head in there. Somebody who knows the Star Wars universe by book. Somebody who could bring people in and say, hey, let's do this, and that, and actually work with each other. I think, you know, Kathleen's problem is all about money. She doesn't understand the universe. She took it over, but I don't think she gets it. What do you think about?
I think she's doing just fine. I think a lot of what we hear is poison to people that don't like her. So it's rumor and innuendo right now. We don't know for sure of how that happens. And then you also have to remember she's got a boss above her, Bob Iger, who kind of also has a say, and he's not always done things. He's actually taken the responsibility for the failure of Solo. He's like, no, we were wrong on dropping it as when we did and how we did it. So it's not just her. I think she's everybody's favorite whipping boy, you know, whipping post to point fingers at. But I think there's too many people. There's not one hand that does, you know, steers the ship over there. And I think it's a lot of other people.
I agree. But, you know, there's an old saying, well, there's smoke, there's fire. So, you know, there's
right.
Maybe it's not true.
I'm just not saying, but it's just her, though. That's the thing. I don't like the whole point of everybody just going, oh, it's her. She did it. She was brought in by George Lucas, too. You know, she was taught I just drew a blank on his name. The one that's heading primarily like the TV series of Star Wars.
Not Jeff Loeb. That was Marvel.
But a lot of people were brought in during the Lucas time.
Oh, Dave Filoni, was it Dave
thank
Filoni?
You, Filoni. Yeah, Filoni. Thank you. Yeah. I said there's a lot of hands in that pot, and I won't blame one person. I think it's all over the place.
I don't want to blame one person. I'm not that type of guy, but I'm just saying, there's stuff out there, and if you want to fix this universe, get people in there who actually are fans of this, who understand what's going on. And I don't think she understands. I don't think she's ever understood what's going on in the Star Wars universe. She claims she does, but her actions, they don't speak, that way. She sat there and said in 2012 that all of this was going to tie together. And she's never tried to tie anything together.
She has, in a way. I mean, the universe has tied together, not specifically in, blazingly all over the screen, but there are things that have tied together from the comic books to the animated series to the movies.
Barely in the movie. Everything else, animated comics, yes, those connect.
But they connect that way, though. They connect because there were things that happened in the movies that are connecting into the comic books. Is it that you want to see something that's in the comic book that gets thrown onto the screen?
Yes, because that's what I was promised.
But you still got it. You got, if you look at the comic books, they're telling the backstory of what's...
Barely.
I think you're asking way for way too much more than
I'm not asking for a big scene. I'm just asking a slight mention here and there that if they land on a planet. Oh, I recognize that ship. And it could be the ghost or something.
You see the ghost. We've seen Chopper. We've seen Maul. We've seen things that take place in the expanded universe that have been showing up in the big screen. That's what I'm saying. We're getting what we were told. We may not be getting it enough. You may not like that we're not getting enough of it, but we are still getting it. What do you mean? Maybe we saw. We didn't. Did we not see Ghost in Rogue One? Did we not see Darth Maul in Solo? And the only way to connect him to that was to be going back to the comic or to the cartoons, to Clone Wars. So
it's not enough.
It's just not enough for you. Is all you're saying. It's just not enough.
I don't want a whole overblown stuff like, hey, Hera shows up with the black saber. No, I don't want that. But I'm just want like a. Like a slight more mention there. Like if you're gonna drop all these things, just include it a little bit more.
But there it's included. It's included. You just want more inclusion. That's all. Because everything I mentioned's there, and we don't know about the C-3PO's red eyes. That could be a direct connection to Aphra. I mean, we have no idea just yet.
I hope so. I hope so.
But yeah, that's they're there. So that is it for Benioff and Weiss. There's still talk. I think what they need to do right now is just focus. Even you said it was focus on just focus on the streaming for right now. Yeah, take your time. Let's wrap up the saga. Let's spend the next couple of years getting the little goodies we've always wanted on TV. And then jump into, the third 3 years from now, maybe 4 years from now, jump into a new saga.
Yeah, I agree. So just build it up on your Disney Plus streaming service and go from there.
Yeah.
But the movies, let this be the last movie for a while.
Yeah. And honestly, I think a lot of problem is what we see in the, because you and I are so involved in this community, we hear and see all the rumors. But you got to realize 10 years ago, these things happened 10 years ago too. We just didn't hear about it because the rumor mill wasn't as open and transparent. That's another reason I think everybody's like, well, she keeps doing this and then she changes her mind on that. I bet you George Lucas did the same fucking thing or whoever was the head of the studios back then did it. We just didn't hear about it because we didn't have the internet in our hands.
No, you're right. There's a lot more platforms for communication, so to be exactly right.
So what do you have? You got anything else?
I got one. Nick Cage is filming this movie. Hold on, let me get the name of it right here.
Oh yeah, I did see.
But
that.
If you have ever played, it's a perfect Nick Cage movie, by the way. It's totally right up his alley. He's filming a movie about being a security guard in an amusement park at night, where basically all these animatronics come to life and try to kill him, which is a direct ripoff. Five Nights at Freddy's. Five Nights at Freddy's is basically a mobile game that was released probably 5-6 years ago. It was a phenomenon. If you ever try to play it, it'll freak you out. That's all I'm going to say. It'll freak you out. It's kind of one of those little handheld games. It's insane. I think the movie's called Horrorland, Wally's Wonderworld, which is bullcrap. It should be called Five Nights at Freddy's, but he's filming that. It's right up his alley, but they should just call it Five Nights at Freddy's. I don't know why they call it Wally's Wonderworld.
Yeah, maybe credit or something like that.
I don't know.
If you look back and see who the writer is, I bet you it's one of the developers of the game.
Hold on.
But honestly, it also sounds more like a night. Was it Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller, where he's a security guard and everything comes alive?
Yeah.
Except in that one, they don't try to. Well, they do try to kill him. Actually, the little Indians or the cowboys and Indians and the Romans, yeah, they try to.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
It sounds like the same movie. So it sounds like they borrowed it from a lot of different places.
Yeah, it's from Bloody Disgusting. So. What is it? I see this movie as a Pale Rider versus Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And, you know, that's it. You know, so that's all you need to know. So I guess that movie's going to be on Netflix coming out probably next year. It reminds me of that one movie he released earlier in the year. I forgot what, because it was called Mandy. That's another freaky movie. Get a chance. That's freaking. That's Nick Cage at Nick Cage's best. That's all I'm going to say. And includes not a cameo, but one of the actors in that movie played Thomas Wayne in Batman Begins. He plays the main antagonist, so look for that.
Oh, really?
I forgot his name, but yeah, that movie's coming out probably next year. What you got, Mike?
Well, I don't have anything else now. I do have one that was kind of a subject I wanted to bring up with you to see what you thought of this, but it's not so much news. Do you have any more news?
I got one more thing. Robert Pattinson is boning up on the Batman, reading some comic books, hopefully reading some Year One, hopefully some Dark Knight Returns. What else?
Did he not say what he was reading, or did he just say?
No, he just said he's reading some Batman comics. It could be anything.
Yeah, let's hope. Hell,
he could be. Hopefully it is Batman comics, you know, just brush up a little bit, get some omnibuses, you know, just dig into the character, you know. That's good. Show that he's doing his homework. You know, he's actually training some Brazilian jiu-jitsu. The same guy that trained Keanu Reeves for the John Wick movies is training him. So it'd be interesting to see his fighting style, because I've always wanted the one thing that I got in Batman v Superman that I've always wanted is the badass Arkham version of Batman. You know, if you ever played those Arkham games, the way his fighting style in that game is, you know, insane. Flips, throwing stuff, using his grappling gun hook and everything, just flying up. Takedowns. That's the Batman I wanted, and I got it in that warehouse scene. So hopefully they'll give me something along those lines.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah, I mean, not just the detective Batman, but also the kung fu Batman that we all know.
The world class ass kicker.
Perfect. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get out of the admissions ward. All right. So what we have is I came across an article, and it was somewhat kind of made some noise in the comic book community. I don't know if you're familiar with Tony Isabella.
The name sounds familiar.
He is the Black Lightning creator. He was one of the guys that created it. And he's been kind of vocal about a certain pointy-eared detective.
Oh, I did hear this one.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious because I'm kind of on the fence with this because I've seen both sides of this. And the reason there's another character out there that falls under the same kind of umbrella and the kind of the same abuse. Well, basically what Tony is saying is that he feels that Batman has become toxic to DC. And the reason he's saying this is that Batman's everywhere. Like, if you literally look at Batman comic books or the DC comic book runs, you'll see Batman's everywhere. From Deceased to City of Bane to the villains, Year of the Villain that's going on right now. And not just Batman himself, but also Batman's characters. You have Joker, Harley Quinn. So everything Batman is just kind of like overkill right now. And I do see that. And not only see that in like in DC, but I've also seen it in Marvel. When you look at Marvel's book runs, you will see a ton of Spider-Man comic books going on right now. To the point where it's like, I think Spider-Man or a spider character, I think there's like a total of 10 to 13 books out. And very similar to the Batman one. So that was his kind of, his argument is that it's not giving other characters chances to grow. That, you know, in the end, you know, Batman's always going to be the answer to it, you know, to whatever ails the world. So I was just kind of curious on your side. What do you think of that?
Well, I can give you a very simple answer. I think you know what the answer is. It's very simple why this oversaturation of Batman and his family is everywhere and his you know, his criminals and everything else. It's the simplest thing in the world. It's what makes the money. Well, I just said it. It's money.
Yeah.
It's dough. You know, yeah, is he oversaturated? Of course he is. I'm the biggest Batman mark in the world. He is oversaturated. He's everywhere. But why is that? Because he makes money. That's that logo, that name, everything from the video games. You talk about a character that has made money. That character makes money. And almost every platform. You're talking about movies, TV series, games, comics. He makes money. That's why he's always going to be out there. That's why he's always going to be at the forefront of DC, because he makes money. They want to keep seeing him. They want more Bat. Do I want more Bat in all these, you know, 1,000 different stories? No, I would like one linear storyline with him, but that's not going to happen. There's always going to be different writers. There's always going to be different stories, and they're going to come up with it year by year. I get it, what he's talking about, because sometimes when you release a Batman comic book, like another good one that's been released, you know, gets pushed to the side, nobody's going to read it. But it's Batman. That's all I'm going to say. It's Batman. And hopefully, if your book is good enough when you release it, it's going to get read. It's going to get that word of mouth. And then it's going to get picked up. And then you never know what's going to happen. But I agree it's oversaturation. But on the other side, hey, Batman makes money. That's why he's out there.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I agree, too. It's the money. But we also went through this back in the 90s. You remember the bombardment, the oversaturation of Wolverine?
Yep. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Everywhere. Now, what happened, though, and I'm afraid I don't want this to happen to Batman, but if it could happen to Batman, there could be a major backlash to this, because it happened to Wolverine, that the fans stopped. They're like, no more. We don't want it. They stopped picking up books with him in it, because it just got so oversaturated to the point now that when Wolverine becomes a main character in some of the X stories, or he starts, you know, showing up a little bit too much, you actually get a backlash of fans going, whoa, 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 what are you doing? Why are you doing more? No, go. We had a shared universe. I mean, like, so I'm worried that could do a backlash on Batman. That's the only thing I'm worried about. Too much of a good thing, kind of, you know, really what it boils down to.
Like I said, I can see that point also. I get it. Like, yeah, Wolverine was ran right into the ground. But then when the movies got released in 2000s, who was at the forefront of the X-Men movies? Wolverine again. It's just like a thing you cannot escape. He's there. I mean, yeah, like I said, is he over? I agree with the article that he's saying, yeah, he is oversaturated. His criminals are oversaturated. Anything connected to Batman is oversaturated. But guess what? People like it. And when the people keep liking it, what do you keep doing, Mike? You keep feeding them more.
Yeah.
More and more and more till they get what? Till they get tired of it. And then you feed them again more.
It's getting there. It's getting there for me right now. I'm just too many. I think there's one, two, there's a Harleen comic book. There's Harley Quinn comic book. Then you have the Black Label ones. The Black Label one is Harleen. Then there's a Joker and Harley one. There's like, in the Black Label one, there's already three books, and Black Label just fucking launched. You know, that's to me, I'm already like, I'm just one book I want to read from them. The other one, I'm just not even bothering looking at. And then there's a second Joker book that's just coming out too. There's like way too much going on. I like the White Label on them. I like some of the stuff that's going on Batman's regular books, but everything else is just like too much.
I agree. And like I said, I agree, but it's like, I'm going to keep repeating saying this. it's all about money.
Oh, no, it is. No, I completely,
you,
yeah.
If you, it's kind of like when Superman had that renaissance. Well, he's never really had a...
He's just been there.
I think so. I think he's just been there. I think he's never... He's not a guy that will make the money, but he's just... He's consistent, I think is the word I could use for him. He's very consistent, very steady. I mean, he's not Batman. Let's be honest. He's just not that... I mean, he's iconic as far as his symbol goes. They'll wear that symbol, too. That's like the number two symbol out there. But Batman makes dough, and the story is... And he's street level, too. I think that's another thing that people have to realize. He's a street level guy. You know, it's hard to write, you know, stories for cosmic beings. You know, there's just so few storylines that I like that are cosmic. I mean, when they get wacky and crazy, I love it. And you know that I love the crazy stuff. But, you know, he's a more of a grounded character. And I think people just pick up on that. They can relate to that. And as long as he keeps making money, he's going to be out in the forefront. I mean, I wish this guy, his comic takes off. Hell, I'll read it. Whatever he's going to release.
Well, no, it's not about him, his comic book. It's his comic character. Because now Black Lightning's been relegated to one of the outsiders. And it's kind of like, okay, well, why is
that,
he there?
See, that's crazy. Because Black Lightning, I think, has had more success in the last 2 years than ever before.
Because of the TV especially, show, yeah.
If you haven't watched the TV show, it's fantastic. And I watch it every week. And talk about a diverse, you know, complicated character. There's a guy who basically is not only a superhero, he's a husband, and he has two superpowered daughters as well that he has to watch out for. I mean, that's just great in itself. So I understand where he's coming from? Yes, I do. I completely get it. I see where he's coming from. But on the other hand, nothing's going to change.
No, it won't. Not until...
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, not until we see that, you know...
Yeah.
See a change and there becomes a backlash. So I just thought it was an interesting, you know, talk
I don't think you'll ever see a backlash for Batman. I doubt that. If it happens, it'll happen, and I understand why. I mean, but I don't think it's gonna happen.
It'll happen just like the Wolverine backlash. They backed off a bit. It's not like he's gonna go away. They toned him down a little bit and killed off a couple of books and just said, okay, we're not gonna do that. But again, it's not just Batman, it's Batman's cast as well. That's the other side of it that he was talking about.
Let me ask you a question. You're a big Nightwing fan, right?
Yeah.
You're one of the biggest Nightwing marks I've ever met in my life, because when I first met you, that was the big thing about us, is that you were Superman, I was Batman, but you dig Nightwing, and I'm a big fan of General Zod. That's like where we kind of had like our hasposis, kind of like our even keel thing. What attracts you to Nightwing, the character itself?
Honestly, I think it's something that's always been with me, because I got attracted to Robin as a kid, and I guess that just carried over when that Robin became Nightwing. It was just, I guess, it was more of a mark for Dick Grayson, you know, not so much Robin, but the more Dick Grayson mark, and that's just, I think, I just carried over, honestly.
Okay.
I was never a big fan of like his agent thing or anything like that.
No, I didn't. That was terrible.
I thought, and again, it's something you and I have talked about before. I thought he was a great amalgamy of two of the main superheroes, or even the Holy Trinity. When you look at it, that he had the expert training, the physical side of Bruce, but he had the consciousness of Superman. So it was kind of like a mixture of that.
I think that's what people have problems with that Titan series too, with that Dick Grayson on screen. They think he's too brutal, and he doesn't have enough of that Superman, but that's a little side note. But
yeah, I think it's just him. That's just the character at that moment, because everybody forgets, because I remember when they first dropped the trailer for that, for Titans, and they're like, oh, well, he said, fuck Batman. You don't know, Robin doesn't say that. Yeah, Robin did say that at one point, and that's where we're at in his career right now. I think he'll eventually get to that point.
Dude, in the comics, he knocked out Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
He hit him because he was pissed.
Yeah, that's
so. When you sit there and say that's never going to happen, it has happened. It just drives me insane.
I just think right now what we're watching on Titans is him coming to terms with that. Yes, he's a leader. He's a born leader. He has to figure out how to do that. I think that's what the growth we're watching now. I think in whatever episode we're going to get him where he jumps into the Nightwing costume is when we're going to see that switch of, okay, I am the leader. I have to take responsibility. I have to be honest to these people. he has to. He's still dealing with the lies and everything that in the deceit that Batman gave him or that Bruce gave him. Because we all know Bruce Wayne and Batman is a player when it comes to telling the truth. He tells half truths. I mean,
he likes to stretch the truth just a little bit.
I mean, that's where you find some of the biggest fights and the biggest storylines is sometimes just the fact that he doesn't tell the truth to the whole Justice League.
Yeah, he's always like asked. Yeah, that's one of his most endearing parts is that he's always like stretching the truth. He always like, you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit, but not quite. And I honestly think the Dick Grayson that's been built up in Titans for the first seasons, like his build up to Nightwing has been great. I love it, especially this season. Like you can see he has regret. He's done. I'm not going to spoil what has happened this season for anybody. Just watch it. It's in season two and DC streaming service. Check it out. But his progression throughout this entire season, you could see that he has regret. He has remorse. I mean, I think we talked about the episode, the Bruce Wayne episode, which is one of my favorite episodes, by the way. All that stuff that is happening, you know, I'm not going to give it away, was happening from a certain point of view. And you could see why. Because he created all that. And you could see what's going on in his head and where it's leading to. And this past episode, something else happened, which again is another building block, a step to Nightwing. And you can see why. And I think people are just not giving it a chance. They're not looking at it from that perspective. Like, oh, but he's got to be Nightwing. He's got to be like half Superman. He's got to have the heart. He'll get there.
Yeah.
But it's all about progression. What do you like in TV shows? What is the best part of a TV show that's been on for like 5 or 6 seasons? Is progression. Progression, progression. You go from one stage to another stage till you finally reach that maximum stage, and then wow, okay.
You think of TV shows that when you know and I hate to use it, but you know, like growing up in the 80s and early 90s, you know, that was the big thing about these TV shows with these romances. Well, once they consummated the romance and they actually became into relationships, the TV show
the show
shit.
Sucked.
It was that.
Moonlighting. Yeah. Moonlighting is the perfect one. Moonlighting. I loved Moonlighting, man. I was like, are they or not they? Are they or not they? Like every season they had that cat and mouse game. I was like, oh man, they're not going to do it. Oh, they came close. Not quite. Came close. Not quite. And then when it finally happened, all right, it's over.
Yeah. And that's same thing with the other shows. You know, you just did that game, that cat and mouse game that we like to watch. But once the cat catches the mouse, okay, what's next? And then exactly. Right now that's what we're watching in Titans. We're watching the cat and mouse game. It's just, you know, not a boyfriend, girlfriend. It's a person trying to find out who he is and where his place is.
You know
what it is?
You know what's crazy? It's a character study, if you think about it. It is a character study of a guy who has basically been in the shadow of this guy. He even said it in the first episode when he's talking to that detective chick who's hot, by the way. I forgot. She got killed off. Spoilers. You won't know. Just watch it. But he sit there and he's talking to his partner. He's like, so how was your old partner in Gotham? He's like, he's the greatest hero that Gotham City ever had. People adored him. They loved him. You know, when I started working with him, I wish I could be like him. But then things happened that I couldn't be that like him anymore, and I had to leave. And it's just that storyline. That's the beginning right there. That's the beginning to what's going to happen soon. So I just think that progression, it makes the character more meaty, and you need characters like that.
Yep. All right. So we're going to jump into the Legends. And so we can check out something out of the long box.
Legends of the Long Box.
All right. So I've got a couple of books I picked up this week. Not really the one I really wanted to read. Sandman. I've been blasting about Sandman for the last month coming out with... you know, Hellblazer, the Sandman universe presents Hellblazer, the first run for the Black Label. And I had a cold this week and I wasn't able to read everything I wanted to. But I did read 2 books I thought were pretty good. Both of them fall under the DC category. And one actually involves the character we were just discussing, Nightwing, which I thought is kind of poignant. In this, it's a Nightwing annual number 2. And basically what we find is that... Deadshot has taken out Dick Grayson. Did a headshot on him. He was out talking to Gordon and Batman on a rooftop and got a clean headshot on him, but it didn't kill him. It erased his memory of everything up to the night his parents died. And the whole story, it's a really great story of seeing the inner struggles of this guy that he's being told of who he is. But he doesn't believe it because he can't be. That's not me. I don't do that. I'm not a hero. And not only that, as you're watching the struggle of Bruce, Damien, Alfred, Barbara, as they're learning that that's not Richard anymore. You know, he refers to himself as Richard. He's not Dick. Everybody, you know, Damien's like, no, his name's Dick. He's like, no, my name's Richard. Like, he's not that person anymore, and he's having to struggle to figure out who he is, and he doesn't want to.
Now, is he married to Barbara at this point, or are they together, or does that not happen?
No, they're okay. Separate, or I couldn't really tell the way they were going. It doesn't look like they were, like, together, but, you know, there's still that tension between them. But it was just very interesting to watch as they're struggling with this. You know, Bruce is losing a son.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking, man. That's just like you know, if you have, you know, it, you know, let's just, you know, for example, with your son, let's just say, for example, like one day his memory's wiped and he's coming up and you have him and then he doesn't know who the hell you are.
Yeah.
And then you have to reach like, hey, no, you're my son. You know, this is we made you with mom and that's this is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got to sit down and you have to reteach him everything about you. You got to, hey, remember this? You know, you used to like that? No, I never liked that. That's a good storyline. Actually, I have to pick that up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Look, annual Nightwing annual number 2 is what it is. And like, it's just a really twisted story too, because, you know, he's arguing. He's like, no, this isn't me. Like, to the point where they even show him the Batcave. And, you know, they come out and say, no, this is who we are. This is who you are. And now he's like, no, that's not me. And it's a very, very interesting twist. And then the last one I have, and then I know you and I both read, so we can kind of tag team that one together.
Yes, sir.
I did read the second issue for the Tales from the Dark Multiverse, The Death of Superman.
Okay, so what did you think, Mike?
I had to, it's...
Okay, a little spoiler, before you go on your little tangent, Mike, when Captain Mike always has like a short pause in the middle of anything before he describes what he's going to say, it usually means one thing. He's not crazy about it. So back to the review. Good.
I can't say I'm not crazy about it. It's different. It's the take of that Superman dies. This basically, if we remember the last one, it was the you know, Bane breaking the back of Batman and everybody, Azrael taking over, and then the twist goes a different way. But this one is Doomsday killed Superman, like we saw. And Lois Lane just loses her mind, basically, that she blames everybody for not helping him during this time. Blames the Justice League, turns her back on Batman, turns her back on everybody and just goes into this funk of, you know, these heroes were standing by pretending like they cared, but if they cared, they would have been there with him and fought by his side. She eventually goes up to the Fortress of Solitude, goes in there. The Raticator says, I was too late. I couldn't save his body. You know, that's one thing we know is, you know, if you did ever read The Death of Superman and The Reign of the Superman and The Return of Superman and that whole series, that the Eradicator took his body, put him in a matrix, and basically gave him like straight sun for, you know, months at a time till he regenerated. But in this one, he tells her I couldn't save him, so she offers Eradicator her body.
Oh wow!
So she becomes the Eradicator, and her suit is a black suit with the red Superman symbol, like the bleeding Superman symbol, and her cape is Superman's torn up cape. So she's flying around.
Does she have the goggles on?
No, no goggles. No.
Okay.
But she just doesn't get. Zero Fs are given with Lois at this point. To the point she goes around and she kills everybody, every villain. She takes Luther and pulls him in space, goes after one of your guys' favorite or biggest enemies. Goes after the Joker. Goes after him. But as the story goes on, we find out that Superman wasn't really dead. And she has to come to now terms with what she has done. So, like I said, it's a different story. It's one of those ones I think I'm going to have to reread because there are certain things that
I
happen.
Think you have to because the premise of the story sounds pretty dope. Because if you think about it, if she has the power of Superman, like, because secretly all along she wanted that. Let's be honest. Like, deep down, she's always like, you know, this guy's always saving me, but what if I had that power? Now she has that power. And what does she do with it? She completely corrupts it.
Yeah.
And then after she does it, who comes back to life is the man she's in love with. And the guy who has that power, who knows how to control it. I think that's one of the things, Mike, that you and I have never really talked about is the composition of Superman. Is like, I've always thought I was part of, and I was part of this opinion before I met you, is I always thought he was the dopey white boy, goody two shoes piece of crap. That's why I always thought he was. Then when you start to say, hey, you know, look into the character, see what he does. And you got to figure, this is a god. This is a man, is a god who could basically rule the entire world. And what does he want to do? He wants to live amongst us and just be regular, normal, or Joe. That takes more to be a regular guy than it is easier to be a you know, a god type figure. Because he could have been a god right away. And Lois just did that. Like, hey, you know what? I'm going to murder everybody. I don't care. That's interesting. I want to pick this up now.
Yeah. And like I said, I mean, it's the dark unit. And I think you have to, because I think these are all part of a series, because at the beginning you have Tempest Fugit at the beginning talking about the dark multiverse, and there makes reference to the Batman That Laughs. And like these are all taking place as there's a darkness coming across the universe that's changing these things. So I think there's an overall story arc. I think this is something that's the beginning, and I think we're going to see a bigger story next year. That how the Year of the Villain was the big overall arc from DC. I think this is the beginning of the arc for next year, the way they're leading up to it.
Yeah, sounds like it.
So, but yeah, those are my two. Definitely pick them up. Like I said, I was just kind of iffy on that, on the Superman one. Hopefully I'll be able to get the Hellblazer one. I read over it. I started reading over it. Looks like classic Hellblazer, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
Big splashy pages.
I think this coming Saturday we'll have to make a trip to Acme, sir. So, just saying. Maybe bring your recorder. Just saying. There we go.
But yeah, that definitely those and I did read the Marauder, or not the Marauder, sorry, the Excalibur for the X-Men expanded.
I was going to pick that up. How is that?
That one was pretty good. Like I said, I'm just picking my two favorite, but that one was interesting that you have Psylocke and Captain Britain are like involved in this like little love affair, and basically, she becomes Captain Britain. Something happens to Captain Britain. So now Psylocke, a mutant, is now Captain Britain. And that's where Excalibur ended. So it was that one was a different one. It wasn't as upbeat and fast-paced as like the other ones I liked. It was just a little different. But I was never a big Excalibur fan
not for runs. Me. I do want to see Christian Bale's version of Captain Britain. That kind of excites me. Good for you, bastards!
Actually, get to see him in a movie using his real accent.
Oh, please let that. Yeah, that's the only thing I heard about it. Captain Britain's kind of a lame character.
Yeah,
but when I heard Christian Bale attached, I'm like, dude, perfect. Make that happen. Maybe in the Disney Streaming Plus service. Who knows?
Let's hope so. So the next one is something you and I both picked up. We've been wanting to talk about this for a while.
Yes.
I'll let you go ahead with this.
I have been waiting to talk about this comic actually for a couple weeks now. I think I teased it. We both teased it for a while. And that is White Widow. White Widow is done by one of our local artists down here in Orlando. And it's publicized by Josh there at Acme. We love you, Josh, and family. It's basically the story about Gabriel Garcia. Gabriel Garcia, at a young age, has this sort of blood mutation type disease. And her parents are sort of these, I guess we could say, nanotech type of doctors. They save her life by injecting her blood cells with something that keeps her alive, but it's not the total cure. Flash forward, an incident happens where her father has to inject her yet again with these other type of nanotech technology. It comes out I would compare it very Spider-Man Venom-esque. I guess that's the word I would use.
The stylish, the way
very stylish. The way it's styled, It has like some elements of S.H.I.E.L.D. in there too, with the the group called The Group, by the way, very clever name. And but I like the fact that Garcia, I think she's Spanish or something. She has white hair. The suit, like I said, is very kind of Venom-esque, very Carnage-esque, very Spider-Man. Like the story is very similar to Spider-Man, but not Spider-Man. I read the first two issues, and I dig it. I dig it. You know, this is not, you know, a young high school kid. This is a college girl. She's going through stuff. She has friends. And then all of a sudden, you know, her dad's dead. And then all of a sudden she's thrust into this world. Like, holy crap. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Man of Steel in a way that, you know, Clark was just thrust with these powers. Now he's got to use them. Hey, guess what? The entire city of Kandor is going to invade. Oh, shit. What do I do? This girl has been basically White Widow for maybe what? In the comics, let's say not even 24 hours?
Yeah, about
and
that,
And all this entire world is thrust upon her. And I got to admit, like, at first I was kind of hesitant because, you know, when you do independent artists, like, you don't know. It's hit or miss. But I got to admit, I like it. I like the art. Number one, the art is the first thing that's going to get you. The suit is really kind of clever. The story, I like. I want to see where it's going. I think it's the biggest thing. Like, they have the groundwork for a good story. I just hope they don't drop the ball. What do you think, Mike?
I only got the first issue, so you're a little bit ahead of me on that. But yeah, it's for everything that's on there, like you were saying, yeah, it's her being thrust into this world, because literally everything happens within a minute. Like, her dad comes in, injects her, dies, then she's off and running, basically. It is very, once, like, they do a quick flashback in the first book to kind of explain her life, and then it, I think halfway through the book, they go back into it. And once you get picked up in the, right back to where the book started, there's like this fever pace to the first book, and I love that part about it a lot. And it's not just full action splash pages. There's a lot of dialogue in there too, which I thought was kind of cool to, because a lot of times when you get these first introductions, there's a little bit of introduction to the character, but then the rest of it's a lot of big, you know, colorful. Hey, look at the action that this person can do.
Yeah, this one exactly.
This one had more. It was more of a balance, I think, with the actual script of it and the actual the splash pages, you know, it was a good mix.
And you got to think about it. This is like a college girl. She's in college, so she's basically trying to learn about herself while trying to like study all these things. And when she gets this nanotech technology, what's the first thing she does? Hey, look, I don't have to go shopping anymore. I could just create my own dress. I thought that was kind of a clever moment. It's like, that's what a girl who's in her early 20s would do. You know, your daughter probably is going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't mean to bring your kids up. I'm just saying, like, if she is, I just need them as reference. You know, maybe you have a kid out there somewhere. So, but anyway, just saying that if you're a young college girl, that 20 something age, when you go to college, you're broke. You don't have money. Hey, guess what? Now I have this nanotechnology. Ooh, I don't need the shop. Ooh, I'm a superhero. Ooh, I can get any outfit I want just by thinking about it. And I think I like the way they wove that in. It's like, hey, I have this big world scope I have to deal with right now, and what the hell is happening? But on the other side, hey, I have this cool technology. I want to learn more about it. And I think that's the struggle that's going on, because her age, because usually superheroes, they have come from a certain point of age group. Like, Peter has always been that high school kid. You know, our favorite heroes have always, they're a little bit more mature. They can handle it. This one is like right in the middle, of everything. So it's, you have two worlds. I'm still growing up, but then I have this other world that's coming after me as well. So I think that's what the brilliant part of this book is.
Yep, and I'm looking forward to it. I know there's only three books out right now, because they are a startup program or a startup company as far as like getting the artwork out. They are part of the, is that Amped?
Yes,
Amped. So yeah, Amped is a, you know, there's a lot. These are a lot of just your startup, you know, group. So if you guys are interested, check them out. I know for sure they are carried at Acme over in Longwood, so off of 434. They've got that one. Kane just did one a couple of weeks ago called Amp. That one's out Amp. There.
Yeah, very X-Men light, I would say so far. Hopefully the release. I think issue 2 is coming out pretty soon as well. I believe so. I have to check that out.
But yeah, these are all you know, independent startups. So we definitely want to support those. I've got a few independent ones I picked up at one of our steampunk conventions here. So we're gonna, you know, hopefully get some more interest drummed up in the independent market for you guys. So
yeah, because we need to drum more interest in the independent vibe, because those are future like creators out there. I mean, we know about the DCs, we know about the Marvels, we know about the main characters. Like we were talking before about Batman, he's out there. He's always going to make his money. These guys are just starting out. White Widow's not making any money right now. And hopefully we can get to a point that we were at that ground level that we pushed the White Widow, like, hey, one day it's a series. You just never know. It's the more interest you could generate for something like this. And that's why I've always been big fans of independent artists and independent creators, because they're just starting out. This is a fresh, bold idea they have from their top of their heads. They're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to release to see what happens. Maybe somebody will like it. Maybe 10 people won't. But maybe that one person that will is going to talk about it like us. And then guess what? You're out there.
Yes, sir. So like I said, yeah, just have to check it out, guys. Make sure you run by the Acme. That's where they are. All of our stuff that we talked about today will be out on our website at heroesasylum.com. You'll be able to pull up the call list that we talked about. Even there's a link there for Acme, too, if you guys want to be able to get in touch with them, call them. Ask for them to put one of the books to the side for you. It is there.
And they will do it. They will do it. I ordered a book a couple weeks ago. I have to go pick up. So
yeah, I've ordered a bunch of them there. Yeah. So if there's anything that you guys need, talk to them. They'll order the book for you. You have to pay for it, you know, up front, but they'll get it to you. Won't take long to get it to you. So like I said,
long at all, maybe.
All that stuff is out there on heroesasylum.com. Links to every place else. Don't forget, we do have our midnight movie. We just dropped, or will be dropping this week, the Mars Attacks.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. So definitely, guys, get out there and check that. And there will be the third drop. We will be dropping Return of the Sith. Also.
No, it's Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, Revenge of the Sith. Shit, that's right. I always screw that one up.
you get Return of the Jedi mixed up all the time, don't you?
Yep. All right, folks. Well, from Captain Mike, I hope you guys have a great week. And Kane, go ahead.
Get to the asylum.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.